Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Earp. Really going down. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX, Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PAX, Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you go visit the website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, its members, why we chose them to be our sponsors, and everything that they do for the community. Hey, remember, let me tell you about us, the Freedom Train Network. Remember our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. But we are in May, and May is our Black Women Celebration Month. So it's going down all month long, 31 days of black women just being great black women. Oh, I love black women. Pat, you love black women?
Most deaf, homie.
You ain't excited enough, Pat. Is you love black women?
Most deaf, homie.
There it is. There it is. So we celebrating black women every day of the month. We were going to have interviews. We're going to have social discussion shows. So make sure you go to our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to see the women that we have highlighted and profiled already. And, you know, because we love our black women. So before I get a little further, let me give you our new weekly lineup. We got a new weekly lineup. We got a little tweak to our weekly lineup. As you know, every Monday you get the Fix Sports Podcast, my show, my sports show. Now, every Tuesday, you're going to get the Block and Nickel podcast by Mr. Donnell Durden, which is financial literacy going straight into your ear, because we're building generational wealth over here. So Mr. Donnell Durden, his podcast actually drops this upcoming Tuesday. So make sure you go ahead and get him. Let me give you the exact date for that Tuesday. That is Tuesday, May 8th. That podcast will debut on the Freedom Train Network. So make sure you get that. Of course, you know, the Freedom Train podcast series, we every Wednesday. And then we have the live show in Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Eric Tolbert. Every Thursday, Pat's show, Lessons from the Screen. Every Friday, you get the podcast of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Eric Tolbert. Every Saturday, you get the Tea Time Black Women Talk podcast, as well as the On the Shows of Giants podcast. Every podcast is available on our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, as well as available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And you already know we on social media, on Twitter, Freedom Train Network, Twitter, Freedom Train Net, Instagram, Freedom Train Network. We on Facebook, Freedom Train Network, YouTube, Freedom Train Network. Holla at us, man. We got you.
Did you say tea time?
Yeah, I said tea time. You ain't listening.
I was trying hard to.
He lying, y'all. Hey, man, so in our celebration of black women, we want to make sure that we center our discussion today. We want to praise black women, especially black women in our lives, black women who we idolize and who came up with iconic to us, kind of give a sense of place for the black woman for her role in the liberation of black people, because I think it's understated. Pat and I are in agreement with this, that the role of the black woman throughout the diaspora, which means for some of y'all throughout the world, the role of the black woman in the liberation of black people, I think, is understated and misunderstood. And as we were talking earlier, it's also packaged in the Eurocentric mindset. So we're going to unpack that and get that to it. So, Pat.
What up?
I love black women, man.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Me too. And I do think, like I said during my show earlier this week, or that came out last week, Lessons from the Screen, where I gave tribute to black women. You know, I wanted to say it again. You know, it's not just that we're acknowledging y'all. We're also trying to let y'all know, like, we hear you. Like, we hear
right.
what you're saying. We see you. We get it. You're not invisible to us. You know what I'm saying? We understand we understand to the best that a man can understand what y'all are going
right.
through and what, you
right.
know, what y'all continue to go through, what y'all have gone through, as well as the amazing contributions that black women have made and continue to make to
yeah.
global history and global culture. Tremendously
right.
impactful group. Tremendously so.
Well, I mean, I just think black women are a group of people, especially within the United States, who get such a bad rap and have it. I don't think men, I know I ain't complete that sentence, but I don't think men really realize, especially black men really realize, because it hasn't been articulated by either side, by the male or the female side, well enough to some people. Now, some women have done a great job of articulating the plight and the place of the black women. Some women have done a great job, and some men have done a horrible job of listening. But I do know, just straight up, but let's just be real, in some spaces, the men are not taught by the men, and the men are not taught by the women about how much black women are needed within our society, how
mm-hmm.
much black women should be appreciated, because we talk about a double to triple to quadruple minority. Because, you know, being black is a burden in itself, and then being a woman is a burden, because white men have historically been insecure about their place, you know.
Right.
Then when white women and white men seen black men naked, you know, that really made the white man feel insecure about his place, you know. But black, and you know, people have heard us say this before, black women a lot of times, when especially when it comes to confrontation with white supremacy, have historically been in the front of the battle lines, the first
mm-hmm.
to get there to take a stand against white supremacy. Now, I just want to put that out there, and we're going to come back to that later, but I want to just, you know, humanize black women right now, because we're so taught to sexualize our women, and that, I think that's one of the biggest issues that we do have when it comes to our journey as men in getting and learning to love ourselves and learn to love black women is black women, period, but especially black women are taught to us, or we're first introduced to black women as if they're objects or some kind of sexual just whatever, and not necessarily looking at them like, hey, these are whole beings who, if it wasn't for a lot of them, we wouldn't be here. So, what are your thoughts on that aspect?
I mean, I do think we're socialized to objectify, and I think that's a socialization that occurs to women as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them place their own self-worth in their appearance, in their youth, in their vitality, in their physical. And that's definitely something that men deal with. Men are not really taught. And I will say this. I do think it's a mother's job to teach her son. And I do think it's a wife's job to educate her husband to a certain extent. If your husband is completely illiterate to the plight of women, then, you know, that's a whole separate conversation as to why he's your husband. But
yeah.
I do want to harp on the fact that I don't think that it's necessarily women's job to educate men any more than they've already done. They've already written the literature. They've already given the speeches. They've already created the art. They're already speaking out. You know, at this point for us, it goes back to the point you just made. It's our job to listen. And for those of us men who feel like we get it, it's our job to go back and spread that understanding. It's kind of like we're always talking about with racism. Well, we say if white people really want to help black people, then they need to fix white people. You know, it's
right.
kind of the same thing with this situation with black men not really having a thorough understanding or appreciation for black
okay.
women. And I do want to
right.
say, I don't think that the majority of black men fit in that category, but too many of us do.
Yeah.
So it's our job as men to go out into the world of men and masculinity and testosterone and all that other shit, and that spread this message of the black woman being the powerful, creative, captivating figure that she is. So I agree with what you're saying. I just wanted to add that caveat that as men, it's our job to step to other men. That's not a it's not a woman's job to do that.
Right. And see, that make me big up the Men of Strength organization that I'm part of, because that's what Men of Strength does. It goes out and it teaches men how to be allies to women. And our Men of Strength organization at FAMU is the only all black or predominantly black, or the one with the black focus, because we're set up at an HBCU. So, you know, it's folk. We had to make sure we tailored the information to fit our environment. So you're dealing with black men who are interacting with black women. And I know I find myself, I'm at a point in life where I'm constantly pulling young black dudes to the side and correcting them or attempting to correct them and give them new perspectives on how to interact with women. Like this one legit that worked with me, like, if he talks to me about a chick and I ask him a question, do you feel like she's good for you? Yes. Do you feel like she helps you become a better person? Yes. Do you feel like she's a healthy person, like healthy relationship, all these things? Yes. So why are you still out here trying to run females like that? I don't know. That was just in me. It's just in me. And it's like, try not to give him too much of a pass because his brain ain't fully developed. But also, you know, people whose brain ain't developed, you know, they have a certain bit of a pass, not a real pass, but a certain bit. But at the same time, it makes, if you're a man, that should make you look at yourself in the society that you're in. But then also when you go back around your homies and y'all having these, man, fuck these hoes, man, I'm fucking all these hoes, these hoes, these hoes, that, these hoes, hoes, bitches, hey, dog, we don't talk like that no more. We don't really do that. We don't get down to that no more. You know, and it's like, it's a point that we have to get to as a society, as black people, to really understand how vital our women are, how much we need our women in our society. Like, African women have always played an important role. Like, you even go back to the mythology, like Black people have always revered their women. And that's one thing from a historical perspective. That's one thing that me and Pat have been trying to get people to understand through our podcast, is that the black women have always been venerated within the history of this world when it comes to black people. Before we were tainted, our minds were and our cultures were tainted by Europeans. The black woman was venerated. Look at the mythology. Look at the gods and the goddesses. Like, if it wasn't for the female goddesses, the male goddesses wouldn't even exist. Like going back to the Egyptian mythology, Ptah, the god Ptah, who was able to come up on that hill, and he's the father of all the gods. Well, Ptah had to come from this water substance, from this primal water, this primal feminine mother water. And if it wasn't for this primal feminine mother water, there would be no Ptah. So in the beginning, there was the feminine aspect, and in the end there's the feminine aspect, and this black primal substance is within the black woman, so we should be venerating her. So a lot of y'all may not agree when people call the black woman God, but if you really look at it from the standpoint of a creation, from a creation standpoint, black woman is God. The black woman is serving as God on earth, or God in the flesh, the way she was able to birth and produce humanity. So I think we need to understand that and treat our women accordingly.
Right, and that goes even back to, you know, when we start talking about various, like the religious angle you brought up is important, because in early human civilization, a woman in general was worshipped for her ability to give birth, to bring forth life, to transition life from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. But even in terms of protection and warfare, you know, like I told you, I just recently watched Black Panther with my kids, and you know, they were constantly saying, Bass help us, Bass this, Bass that, and Bass
right,
was a goddess.
Bass that, yeah, Bass that,
was a god, the goddess of warfare, if memory serves correctly, the goddess of protection, you know, was the goddess in charge of protecting the Pharaoh, who was God king or God representative on earth for them. You know, so
right.
Even in terms of that, you constantly had this idea of a female deity that was being worshipped, that was being called upon, and that had the ability, the involvement, the powers, and the capability to engage in acts of war, in acts of protection, self-defense. And to me, this goes back again because we're constantly railing against this idea of women being these creatures that need to be protected, these creatures
right.
that can't carry their own weight, that can't
when
defend
can.
Themselves, that can't this, that can't that. And all
that's
of that kind
European.
Of needs to be thrown away.
That's European. That's strict
right.
European.
Right. Right. There's a reason why there are so many prominent black women throughout history making monumental impacts. Monumental. And that's because black women are warriors. And I said
right.
that through my show, and I'm going to say it
right.
all fucking month, so get used to it.
Black women are warriors, though. They are. I mean, like I was saying earlier, the thought that black women are these dainty little fragile human beings who can't do anything, who just needs a man to do anything. The damsel in distress is a European idea. While the white girl was in the ivory tower waiting on the white man to come save her, the black woman was figuring out a way to get her ass up out that tower and go beat some ass. That's
I
what was
Disney
going on.
For that.
You know, of course, man, you know, we can go be all day on this Disney stuff. You know. Disney, crazy, man. But it's the idea, you know, it's the tainted idea of what women is because the women in European society brought into the idea of the damsel. Even in early European society, women the women had to kick ass because
mm-hmm.
they had to because the men was vile and rapists and stuff, so they had to kick ass. But it's just like this damsel in distress idea that and us saying that black women are not damsels in distress does not take away our love and our respect and I'm putting my air quotes up chivalry because you know how I feel about the original version of chivalry is because really chivalry was put in place to where if a man had beef with somebody he would let the woman walk in the room first because if an assassin was trying to assassinate him and the woman go in the room first he'd kill the woman so that's really what chivalry break down to and it's for like a European nobility and stuff like that but that doesn't mean that we don't take care of our women. That doesn't mean that we don't pacify our women, or we don't put our women on the pedestal, or we don't, you know, be romantic with our women. That doesn't mean that, but that means that we recognize and we honor and we encourage and we support the strength within our women, but at the same time, honoring, encouraging, and supporting the nurturing and the softness of her as well as a black, beautiful woman. Because black, hey man, black women so live, man. Oh, shoot. I had a moment. Yeah.
No, but I mean that speaks to the duality of black women. You know, you can have on one hand this warrior queen, this warrior spirit, like a Harriet Tubman, who you know could plan and lead military campaigns during the Civil War, and be this sort of warrior. But on the other hand, you do have that side of women that can be soft and can be nurturing and can be the complete opposite. Of the being that will take your life without thinking about it. You know, that
right.
speaks to their ability to harness those dual energies when necessary. It's something that's spoken of and represented at length throughout our history, especially here in America, where they had to display both sides of their femininity and their masculinity on a daily basis. And this isn't to say, because there's a lot also saying that well, we're not going to get into that because that would take us down a line. But I do want to say that we as men have to understand the duality that is women, you know, the ability to do both. Yes, she is a warrior, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't need someone to protect her at times. Just like she's a warrior because you need somebody to protect you at times as
right.
a man. You
right.
know, like My wife is there to defend me when I can't defend myself, and sometimes she's there to defend me even when I fucking can't defend myself because she can do it better. You know, and the same is true on the other end, where I'm there to defend her. So we need to, that, and that goes back to us understanding and developing a full appreciation for the totality that is women, that
right.
we're currently not being educated about, because we aren't being told the stories of the Dahomey warriors. We aren't being told the stories of the Harriet Tubman and her military campaigns. We're not being told all of these stories of
right,
black women, queens, going into battle.
Man, y'all sent to after the golden stool was stolen by the Europeans and the British, the males in the village were afraid to go to war to get the king and the stool back. And Yah Santewa stood in front of all those men and told them, basically in a nutshell, told them, if y'all grown-ass men, I'm saying it in American ways, if y'all grown-ass men scared to fight these fools for coming up in here disrespecting us, stealing our golden stool, and kidnapping our king, don't even worry about it. Because myself and the rest of these women, we're going to go to war, and we're willing to die to protect our throne. And they did. They went to war, and the men eventually stood up. But that's an example of how even women can inspire men to war, because women, like I said, the stories are not told. The Beatrice Kempavita stories need to be told. The Queen Nanny stories need to be told. The Wangari Maathai, even like Fela Kuti, his mother, Fumilayo Ransom Kuti, she was trill. Winnie Mandela was one of the trillest ever, man.
Mm-hmm.
And see, these stories need to be told, because these women were not soft, but yet they were able to be nurturing. They were able to be delicate. They were able to be in a loving space, but they would rip your heart out if need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, it's the duality of the woman, which is the same duality that's in men. And the men, and to be honest, and we've said this before, let's go ahead and say it again. Women, genetically, spiritually, all these things, women are superior to men. The feminine aspect is superior to the masculine aspect. But it takes both aspects together to create life, to reproduce life. But the feminine energy is the highest form of energy within the universe. I know a lot of religious people don't like to hear that, because most of your Godhead figures are masculine, are male. But the highest form of energy in this universe is feminine energy, because without that feminine waters, you can't produce life. So you got to get your mind right, folks. The black woman is very, very, very important to us, and we have to make sure that we're showing her respect, giving her just due. And I know a lot of times we'll see women who we feel may not exhibit qualities that we see as godly or queenly. But what I have learned in my time is, no matter what, I treat the prostitutes in the street with the same respect that I treat my mother. I'm going to say that again. And if you don't believe me, you can come ask them. I treat the prostitutes in the street with the same respect that I treat my mother. You may not agree. You may not do it. But that's something that I started doing, that Joseph Ward, I started doing that, because I'm able to still see the humanity and the femininity in these ladies. Yeah, you may not look your best. You may not smell your best. You may not be at the best point in your life. But how do we empower somebody by ignoring them and stepping over them and around them? Us men who claim to be protectors of our women, we have to be protectors of our women, even if these women are not protecting themselves. And I say treating women with respect, even if they don't treat themselves like that. That's what I say. That's just me.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. The only pushback I would have is that, and this is just me personally, I don't, and you know, you're a lot more studied and spirituality than I am, so I'm going to put that disclaimer out there as well for the listeners. But I prefer the viewpoint of the two energies being equal, because, and that's not to say that they are or aren't, that is to say that when you start saying one is superior to the other, that leads to people
Well, yeah, people take that and run with it, I know, but
right.
Go do your reading, people. Do your reading. Don't get mad. Oh, Joseph said women better than men. I didn't say that. Well, we're talking about energies. We're talking about frequencies and energy. But like I said, you still have to have both to be able to produce life.
Right, and I think that's the point we got to get because, you know, there's been a lot of talk. And that's one thing we have to understand as well is that all people have both energies in them at all times anyway. You wouldn't be allowed. You wouldn't be alive if you didn't have, as a man, if you didn't have some feminine quality, feminine energies, feminine hormones flowing through your system, you wouldn't be alive. And the same can be said for women. If you didn't have masculine hormones and all these other things in your system, you wouldn't be alive. They're all there. They're just there to a lesser extent, depending on which gender you are, which sex you have. So, you know, I do think that that's there, and we do, like you said, like we both said, now we got to tell these stories more often to all the women you just named, you know, the various different queens and Candaces of old that rode off in the battle, that ruled, you know, that led in various different capacities. You know, like we've never been that culture all the way up until recently. I'm not going to say never because we're talking about black cultures, and black cultures are vast. There's a lot of them, vast and varied. But on the whole, I will say that we have tended to be more appreciative of our women than has been the case since we've been here. And there's a lot to be said for that. And that's why, you know, it's kind of hard to have a conversation appreciating women without trying to talk to the men about how we need to step our shit up because our women have been ignored for so long, and the more we see the fruits of that, instead of men who want to be proclaim themselves as the leader of the community, instead of these men stepping forward and being like, you know what, and you know, I say this all the time, you know what, I am going to be the leader, so I'm going to take the first step to fix this shit. Look, I'm sorry, what do you need from me? And then shut up and listen. Instead of men doing that, they get all butt hurt. And they start firing back, and they go in defensive mode, and this, that, and the third. And it's like, but yeah, but we're not going to get nowhere doing that. And if you want to be the leader, then you have to take the first step. And no good leader keeps people behind them by telling the people to shut up and get in line. That doesn't work. It doesn't work anywhere. Anywhere. Right. And so we run into a situation where we find ourselves as men essentially telling black women that we need them to do this and we need them to do that, and we do it without even hearing them out first and saying, look, I understand where you're coming from. I get it. Right now, blah, 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 blah. Now, do you understand that? Okay, like that should be where the conversation, and that's why these, it's kind of hard. This month is difficult for me already. Because we want to highlight black women and we want to show our appreciation for black women, but we also have to acknowledge that they've been rendered invisible. And they've been rendered invisible in part because we have not stood by them in their platform to be heard. We have not stood by them, and I'm talking about en masse. And I understand that there is the large majority of men do appreciate black women. The problem is we do it silently, and we allow the loud minority that don't appreciate black men or that appreciate black women, those black men, to do all the talking. And so they end up invariably speaking for us and saying shit that we don't agree with. So when it comes to appreciating our black women, we need the silent majority to become the vocal and loud majority that's going to shut down and shout down that loud minority that's out there right now saying all of this foolish shit. So it's kind of like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying, Joe? It's kind of hard to get, because we want to celebrate them, but at the same time, it's kind of hard for me to just say black women are fucking amazing, black women are fucking amazing, black women are fucking amazing, and then ignore the reason why black women aren't being heard and why black women are invisible. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think one thing that we can do is one thing that we need to do is continue what we're doing now with our celebration. Continue with that, but also what we're doing now is as men having conversations with other men, which we do, but also this podcast, using this podcast to have conversations with between ourselves and the other people that we have on these about these topics, and hopefully that spur conversations with other people within their circles. Because you know, when we get a chance to talk about it, we talk about it
right.
with people. But it needs to be talked about. It needs to be brought to the forefront. Men that are respected need to be the ones who are starting these conversations, because women have been wronged. Our women have been hurt. Our women have been stepped on, beat on. Every horrible thing you can think of to do to women has happened to our black women 1,000,000,000 times over. And a lot of times, too many times it's come from the hands of black men. Too many times. So we're not going to ignore, in the midst of our celebration, we're not going to ignore the plight that black women face at the hands of us and the hands of other men. But what we can do is acknowledge it, take responsibility. Because I'll admit, shit, I was a part of the dumb shit. You know, I was socialized to be part of the dumb shit. But it takes growth, though. Getting around men, I've said this plenty of times, I got around men who actually loved themselves and then loved their women and their families. And so that taught me something different. I was able to see something different. But we're not seeing that a lot. So that is a challenge to men. All the men who listen, it is a challenge to you. If you're a man who consider yourself a good man or a great man, and people keep telling you how good of a man you are, get out there and show these other young men how to be good men. Don't just expect it to happen by osmosis, because that shit don't work. But in the midst of us celebrating our women, we hear you, women, ladies, we hear you all. We hear you all. And we try to do our best on this network and not ignore things that's happening to black women, try to bring light to the things that's happening with black women. And we're going to continue using our platform to do that. We're going to continue being an advocate for black women. We're going to continue being an ally, a partner, a brother, a son, a mother. I mean, not a mother, a husband, a lover. You know, all of that. You know, we're going to continue being the best that we can be. But at the same time, we're also going to do our best to teach other men to be better at the things that they do and the way they get down, and just being a great example for others, and taking other young men to the side and talking to them and really teaching them about what's going on. Because if not, these vicious cycles of craziness going to keep going on, and we're already at a point where we have generations of black women who are living with so many scars that you can't just tell them to get over it. And to me, anybody who just trying to tell somebody to get over it, they crazy. You can't just say, hey, well, just get over it like that. You can't just do that. So, I mean, we're listening. We are listening. And we are doing what we can to become a part of the solution and create other solutions. That's what we can say.
Yeah, I mean, to me, my view is that as a group of people, every group of people, their interactions with any other group of people will always be based on temporary alliances and agreements. But when you start talking about, so that means, you know, as black people, our relationship to white people, Hispanic people, Latino people, whatever, any other ethnic group. And when I say black, I'm not, in this case, in this sense, I'm not necessarily referring to the black racial identity or the black makeup where you can add in, you know, all of these other groups. We're talking about our ethnic identity as black Americans, if you will. Our relationship to any other group is fluid. It's based on a state of temporary agreements, temporary alliances, and temporary enemy statuses, enemy declarations. But our relationship with our women cannot be so. It has to be a permanent alliance. A permanent bond, a permanent family, a permanent, you know, state of existence in positive energy. And that means we have to understand that anything negative that happens to her happens to me as well.
Yeah, Yeah. To the
there is no point in time where I should be able to look at my counter and say that's an enemy. Because at that point, I have declared war on my own people and basically decided that, you know, we're no longer fit to exist. We need to be wiped out. And so that's where I'm, you know, and that's kind of where I'm at with it, and why this particular thing is so meaningful for me is because, you know, the divide is growing and people are taking sides on an issue that we shouldn't be taking sides on. Like, women shouldn't have to choose between their gender and their race the same way men shouldn't have to choose between their gender and their race. But we have people feeling like they have to choose between their gender and their race, and instead of anybody saying, hold up, stop it. What, like, let's talk about this. Everybody is just saying, well, if they would come to the table and do this, then I would come back. No, wait, that's not how you negotiate. That's not how you problem solve. That's not how you deal with other human beings. So the socialization, the cultural component, all of that's bleeding over into the economics, the educations, all of that is bleeding over, and it's creating different societies where people don't even want to understand the other side anymore. And that's where it gets to be difficult. And that's, I think, another reason for me anyways as to why this particular month is so important, celebrating black women, showing the worth, the value of black women, and getting those people who once thought that it was cool to be part of the dumb shit and that women didn't bring anything of value. Because you actually have people saying that shit now. Women don't bring anything of value to the table. Instead of,
and that's bullshit.
It's total bullshit. It's let me tell you how crazy that is. A black person saying black women don't add anything of value to the community, and I have heard this. That's the same as a white person saying black people don't add anything of value to the community. And that's where we have to be aware of the parallels. We have to be aware of how we treat each other compared to how other people treat us.
Yeah.
So, I still think Damon is a fuckboy piece of shit. I'm not going back on that at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With my black men or the white men in the black community.
Right. Yeah. I still think he's a fuckboy. Yeah. I'm not going to say a piece of shit because I don't know. But I do think that – but anyways, back to this. But we do have to be aware of potential parallels in how we treat each other versus how other groups treat us. And the fact that he could, and this is where I was going with that, the fact that he could even make that piece and be co-signed by so many women.
That's because there's a bit of truth in that. And not everything he said, I would say 99.9% of stuff he said was just based off of his feelings. But we can't say that he was totally pulling that just out of the air, because black women do get treated like shit too often. And that's the problem. What you're saying with that is that there shouldn't have been an environment possible for him to write something like that. And the fact that there's an environment that's possible for him to write something like that, meaning that as men, especially black men, with our relationship with black women, we got to do damn better. We got to do better than what we doing. Like I was just thinking about this the other day. Like the codes of conduct that we came up with, PACS Inc., right?
www.pactsinc.org. Go ahead.
If you follow the codes of conduct, there's no room for side chicks and side dudes. There's no room for men backstabbing other men or backstabbing women other, if you follow the codes of conduct.
Right.
So that's one thing, like within men, like we have bro codes, but these bro codes ain't no real codes, because look at the way we treat each other and we treat our women. Like I do HIV/AIDS prevention. One of the things I do, you should see the amount of women that get STDs from these dudes who just out here just fucking anything moving. You know, and it's like, you should see the amount of STDs that men give other men. And let's just be real, it's men us men, especially black men, but we were socialized to conquer the world through our penises. And we, a lot of, I'm not going to say all of us, because I can't say this across the board, but a lot of us, too many of us, were socialized to just try to dominate women and just dominate the world sexually and do all these things and just kind of try to be this man that society really doesn't allow and afford us to be. Like, you may get some who slip through the crack, be able to reach that level of white acceptance and all those other things, but for the most part, that's not necessarily how we get down and be able to thrive. Because look at our communities. Like, you can't have a woman who is scorned by men raising men and expect those men to come out without any issues. Because if you do, then you're not being real with yourself. A woman who is scorned, especially by men, unless she gets some kind of healing, if she has a son, that son is going to suffer the consequences. Just the same thing as if you have a man who's scorned and he has to raise a daughter, or even if he has to raise a son, it's going to be consequences. So we have to be able to look at the long-term effects of how we treat and interact with each other, but also long-term effects of how we treat our women, because the nature of our women being the mothers and the teachers of the next generation, the first ones to step up to the plate. Because I saw the video, it was a video of this young girl who was crying, and she frustrated because she's a single mother. And granted, she chose to lay down and have sex and have those babies. She did make that choice. But the fact that the mindset of men is, I can make babies and don't have to raise them, that's an issue with me. I know I don't have no kids, but still, that's an issue with me, because there's too many women in the positions to where the guys don't even really have it in their mind that they need to be active, consistent fathers on a regular basis. And you got black women who are raising generations of other black women, and some of these black women are scorned, are torn to pieces. They need counseling and things. And those, it's become a norm in our community, and that shouldn't happen. Like, that's not a norm. That's not how we treat our women. Like, we got to do different.
Most definitely. It's funny you say bro code, because, you know, there's actually a brocode.org that actually lists out 100 and over 100. I don't remember how much. One of my friends sent it to me a ways back, and I just Googled it to see if it was still up, and it's still up and active, so it was interesting. One of the codes I do remember is a woman is off limits if she is a sister to your friend, to your bro.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting, because if my bro is a good dude, and he is, if I'm calling him my bro, I don't have a problem with him dating my sister.
I would prefer if my sister date somebody I know.
Right. So for me, it's like, just even have that code in there suggests that your best friends ain't shit.
Right. So it's an underlying idea, this underlying norm that as a man, you just automatically ain't supposed to be shit.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it. You know what I'm saying? I said that on my Lessons from the Screen. I said that, you know, and I've been saying it for a while now. Look, if I wouldn't let you date my sister, you can't be my friend. That's just point blank, period. We can be acquaintances, we can associate, but we ain't never going to be friends if I wouldn't let you date my sister. Point blank, period. Like, you know, like, if
something wrong with you.
If I wouldn't let my daughter marry somebody just like you, you know what I'm saying? And that's like, you can't be my dude. Like, because I'm going to need, and that goes into a whole nother discussion about how men raise their daughters to respect themselves, to appreciate themselves, and all of that goes into the type of company a man keeps. Because I'm one of them dudes, call me whatever you think, I don't believe you can hang around a squadron of assholes and not be one yourself. I just don't believe that's possible.
You can't. Ain't no way you're going to be around a bunch of assholes all the time, then you yourself don't pick up those traits and those qualities.
And that's something that I think really speaks to something that we need to pay attention to. Like, if all of your friends are womanizers, even if you're not a womanizer, you still picked up some of their disrespectful quality traits.
And you support womanizing.
Right, that's the other component. You support that type of activity. So, you know, we use the same thing when we talk about a woman. If we notice that she in a group full of hoes, we'll say some shit like, oh, well, she probably a hoe. She hang out with them.
Same thing with men.
Right. So, and again, I understand because a lot of people would be like, well, it sounds more like they're getting on men than appreciating women. And to that, I want to say, look, we have to address the elephant in the room. The reason why we have to have a Women's Appreciation Month is because men are fucking up, and as men, it's our responsibility to call out other men in addition to recognizing the wonderful women that are doing wonderful things. Every day this month, we're dropping a profile on black women. If you go to various different On the Shoulders of Giants episodes created by Joe, he profiles women. We're going to be interviewing women this month, talking to them about their successes and about just being women. You know, my last lessons from the screen, I kind of got on the men, but I also did a whole lot of talking about all of the good that women have done. But we also have to be clear. We need to demand more from men. And as men, we're in that position to do that. Look, men, we need more. We need to do better by our women. We need to stand up. We need to be heard, and we need to knock the knuckleheads down that's getting in the way of us enjoying ourselves and making sure that our women feel appreciated. The mere fact that we have to establish an appreciation month for black women because they're invisible, that should be problematic for all of us. Aren't we always talking about we don't celebrate Black History Month just in February? We celebrate it year-round.
So we
you know,
celebrate black women year-round.
Same thing. If we were doing that, we wouldn't even be doing this right now.
Right. Right. So, but like you're saying, we want to make sure we put stuff in perspective. Like we said earlier, we don't want to ignore the elephant in the room. But at the same time, this is about the appreciation of black women. And black women have been so instrumental.
Right.
And I know, like, my development and just development of a lot of us. And within the schools, within the community, like, around places, like, black women just so live, man. And I just felt like this is a perfect time for us to look at our women and tell them that we love them. Like, black women, we love y'all. Like, straight up. Mm-hmm. We straight up love y'all, like all of you. Like, I don't care, you know, like how society may look at certain black women in certain positions in life and where they are. Like, we're loving on all of our women because all of our women need love, just like all of our men need love. But just we focusing on our women, and it's like, my mama black. So, I mean, that's what my love's like. Like, my love for black women should be unconditional, and it should be real because my mama black. I mean, you know, just start from there. And then, like, going back to what we were saying earlier, like, one of the earliest or the oldest that we could find, like, depictions, one of the oldest depictions, like, physical depictions or statues of God was the Venus of Willendorf, which is the outline of a woman, basically. And also, I do want to, before we start to wrap this up, I do want to talk about, you know, kind of touch on the image of black women.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the reasons why I'm so for us controlling our own images is so we can clean up and change the image of the black woman. Mm-hmm. Nationally and internationally, because the black woman is not seen as a woman, she's seen as an object, and that's wrong. So in the celebration of women, of black women, we want to make sure that we are putting out positive. And that's one of the main, that's one of the reasons why we are profiling 31 black women, and you can see them and read the information and go support them, because we want to make sure that we are a part of changing the image and the narrative of what people have in their mind of black women. You know, when somebody says, you go to Google, you type in black women, or you type in certain things, and it's always nudity or derogatory pornographic things that we see with black women. Yeah, because we're also talking about a medium. Mediums, because Google doesn't post those. Google collect pictures from other websites.
Right.
And so it's making sure that our mediums for media are so powerful, so when somebody types in something for black women, that those positive images come up. But it's a continuous effort from everybody, black men and black women. Black women, y'all got to love each other as well. Part of this is to make sure that we're encouraging black women to love each other, but also encouraging black men to love them. But black people, period, we got to love ourselves and love our women. And it's just, it's so imperative. I mean, like I said, going back from my mom to Miss Daniels, my kindergarten teacher, to what was her last name? I was just thinking about her this morning. Her name just escaped me. I don't know how her name just escaped me, but she was my math teacher in seventh grade. And if it wasn't for black women in conjunction with black men, because when I had white women teachers, my grades were horrible. But when I had black women teaching, my stuff was good. So black women went out of their way, went above and beyond. For real, because like, it was like they went above and beyond. Like Dr. Huberta Jackson Loman, who we profiled, like I took her for women's psychology and community psychology. But that psychology of women class, man, shoot, that kind of gave me a better perspective on black women and the plight of the black woman as well. So I think we need to take time out to learn more and celebrate more of our women. Like looking at, like I said, you know, Coretta Scott King, looking at the role she played in Dr. King's life, looking at the role Ruby Dee played in Ozzie Davis's life, looking at the role Betty Shabazz played in Malcolm X's life, looking at the role that Clara Muhammad played in Elijah Muhammad's wife, looking at the role that Fannie Lou Hamer played, September Clark, look at the role she played. I could be here all day naming black women who put it down, like Dr. Marie Maynard Daly, who was the first African-American PhD in chemistry. We got Dame Mary Eugenia Charles, who was over in England. Not England, but in the Dominican island of Dominica. Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. Like women, man, black women have been putting it down since the beginning of time, man. And that's one thing that we need to understand. Even like you was talking about on your show, Sojourn the Truth. Like, and I always wondered, growing up, I always wondered why she named herself Sojourn the Truth. And then when you see the what Sojourner, the word Sojourner means, and she put that like she literally named herself after her mission in life, which is to fight slavery and racism and discrimination to help free black people. And she fought abolitionists. She fought against abolitionists who would quasi free the slaves, but still discriminate against them in their supposed free camps. And then, like you, like Pat pointed out, like you pointed out in your podcast, she didn't even, like, the Ain't I a Woman speech wasn't even hers. Well, she did an address, but it was changed like 12 years later by some white lady who added the Ain't I a Woman or the Aren't I a Woman part, and then put Southern American dialect when that wasn't even real. Like, Sojourn the Truth first language was Dutch. So even if she had broken, like, and Pat and I talked about this, even if she had broken English, she wouldn't have spoke a broken Southern dialect. It would have been like a Dutch dialect. So learning the truth about our women and embracing it and loving, because I'll tell you, get into the history, because once you learn, you're going to love black women. The Candaces, oh, man, Candaces are cush. I could be here all day, man, naming black women.
Yeah, well, you done profiled a good chunk of them.
I know, right? Like, I mean, it's so many like amazing black women, man. And just like here in this city in Tallahassee, man, since I've been doing On the Soul of the Giants and the Freedom Train, just the women been able to meet and the women I've been able to grow with and just learn from. Man, think about like the women we've had on here. Like, shout out to Miss Melanie Bonita for coming through, dropping those gems. You know, shout out to women like Kat Harvey, Miss Barbara Jo Williams, Dr. A.L. Smith. Like, I'm trying to think of all the women that we've been had on here who, you know, just put it down. Elise Bethel, Amanda, Mandy Buckner, Stephanie Glenn, Stacey Trawick. What's the young lady, Evandra, the young lady Evandra we spoke with during our Mental Health Awareness Month. Yeah, shout out to the Tea Time ladies for holding it down, for being willing to create a podcast for black women to help uplift the power of black women. Tam IE, EV, Mia X, Mo, shout out to them. I mean, we just got to show our women love, man, on a regular basis. This is what we need to do.
Yup.
Hey man. But you know, this is one of the first shows that we have in this month. Like we said, every day of the week we're going to be profiling different black women, and we want y'all to comment, like, share on those posts when you see them. We want y'all to go click on the post and go visit the websites and support these ladies. Like, hell, if we don't do it, who gonna do it? Think about it. If we don't do it, who gonna do it? Our women need us, and we need our women. It's a relationship that flows both ways.
Right.
So, yeah, man. So, and we could go on forever talking about this, but we don't want to continuously beat a dead horse. So, hey, man, we're going to come back next week, and we ain't going to tell y'all what y'all going to get next week. Y'all just got to wait around and get the surprise. So come back next week so you can get the surprise for what we got for you next week going down for Black Women's Celebration Month right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You got any partner shots, Pat?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. Power to the black women.
And then, word.
I love me some black women. I so do. I love me some black women.